And this 100% signals the shift from our very software-focused experience with AI up until this point in time into a physical hardware realm. And when we talk about the list of various types of hardware that are included in the filing, you'll kind of start to understand how deeply AI is going to start affecting all of our physical hardware. You have things like wearable tech, so smartwatches or smart jewelry, AR glasses, headphones, or any other wearables, AR, VR devices in general, all powered by theoretically the most powerful models if OpenAI remains dominant. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, we are back to our regular scheduled programming after our interview with Shaheen, and we're going to be talking about some of the latest news in the AI world with another Daily Digest episode today. First, we're going to talk about the new AI video generator from ByteDance called OmniHuman 1, which is a frightening new level of AI video cloning, or essentially deep faking, that has brought the all too real concerns of determining whether a video is AI generated or not right back to our doorsteps. Then we'll go on to talk about a model that we've only mentioned a couple times on this show before, and that is Mistral's Le Chat, Mistral being the French AI startup that hasn't really made a ton of waves as far as performance goes compared to some of the giants over here in the US, but some recent speed improvements and some recent feature additions have Mistral at the top of the headlines and have people discussing whether an AI needs to be all-powerful to in fact be the AI of choice. And then lastly, we'll finish up with some news about some trademark filing that has been done by OpenAI that kind of gives us a glimpse into our coming AI hardware future. So let's go ahead and get into it. Lots to cover today. First, ByteDance's OmniHuman 1. This, again, is an AI video generation model that's going to allow the user to create hyper-realistic, full-body videos from just a single image and audio input. So you can generate lifelike videos of people speaking, gesturing, or even singing with just one image and some audio. And with just that image and just that audio, you can do a bunch of different types of generations from various aspect ratios, different body proportions, close-up and full-body animation, and on top of that, the model also processes multiple types of inputs, so it's very versatile in its multimodal capabilities. So, you can input text and audio and video, and it can then combine these inputs to produce the synchronized speech and gestures and the body movements that are so alarmingly human as a result. And one of the reasons that it's so alarming is most likely all of the training that has gone into the model. So, it's been trained on over 18,700 hours of human motion data. And this massive data set is what allows it to handle these very complex poses and movements with such high fidelity. And yet another differentiator for OmniHuman 1 when it comes to AI avatar or AI clone generation is the extensive customization options that users are going to have with their generations. Users can adjust body proportions, facial expressions, or animation styles. And speaking of animation, the model even supports non-human characters, so animated cartoon characters as well. Now, before we talk about what this might mean for businesses and marketers, let's talk a little bit about what it means for society and the implications of deepfake videos or generations of public figures or objects or events that are generated by AI but are so realistic that you cannot tell the difference. And OmniHuman 1 absolutely raises the bar as far as those concerns go. Many previous models and previous generators have had a variety of glitches and quirks or just outright failures that make it pretty obvious that they are AI. Think the fingers and hands in some of those early models, which still ends up being a challenge for many. Although in tomorrow's episode, I think we're going to talk about a new video generator from Meta called VideoJam, which may have just overcome those issues. One issue in particular that we've discussed before is that with dynamic motion like gymnastics or snowboarding is the example that we used, and apparently this VideoJam model has some capabilities to surpass those, so we're going to maybe test that as well. Now, as far as it goes and these deepfakes go, it doesn't take very much imagination to see how bad actors could use these deepfakes for disinformation campaigns, scams, identity theft, all of these things, and as these technologies are becoming more sophisticated, the existing detection tools, of which there are not that many to begin with, are still rather imperfect. So obviously there's a whole variety of ethical and regulatory concerns and requirements that need to be addressed, and those needs are continuing to arise. We have some significant gaps in our legislation right now. Obviously there's privacy and data security concerns that are going to be going right back up to the top of our discussions, which they already were due to the DeepSeek R1 drama. So security of our AI future continues to be up in the air, but not necessarily here to talk about that. We're here to talk about marketing and business. So let's talk about what this might mean in that case. This could be used to reach an entire another level of personalization. For example, to have one-to-one personalized videos with avatars or AI models who are actually realistic and could be either culturally or socially relevant to who they're speaking with. Maybe each prospect could have its own dedicated AI outreach or salesperson, and maybe they could even tweak that customer rep or sales rep if there's a continuing ongoing customer relationship there to look and act more like they would prefer. Another pretty clear use case would be a generated AI influencer, and this is something that's already being done to actually quite a bit of success in a lot of cases with tools like HeyGen and 11 Labs. But as new levels of fidelity and realism are reached, so will new levels of AI influencers that we encounter. So will there be new levels of AI influencers that we encounter? If you have a software product or a product that is very complex and requires some customer education, immersive online learning experiences are another great way to use these hyper-realistic AI avatars. So really all of the AI avatar use cases that we've covered on this show before just became a lot more powerful. Now, OmniHuman 1 is not currently available publicly, but check out the link in the show notes to see some of the demos to get an idea for yourself just how realistic they are. I think the Einstein one in particular is a great example. It's one that I encountered on X, and I think it's pretty mind-blowing, so check that out. Okay, next up, let's talk a little bit about Mistral. Again, this is the French AI startup that we haven't mentioned too often on the show, but particularly today, we're going to talk about the launching of their mobile versions on iOS and Android, along with some significant updates and improvements to the performance of the overall platform. So now the chat, Lay Chat, is accessible on dedicated apps for iOS and Android. And if you haven't used the tool at all, there's also a web interface. The mobile app is basically still going to be a simple chatbot interface using natural language processing. It's going to allow users to query and receive responses in that conversational AI manner. And as is becoming the baseline for all of these tools and these new models, image generation and web search are integrated directly into the LayChat apps. The new mobile apps also come with a few performance enhancements. One is Flash Answers, which is a feature that allows the chat to process up to 1,000 words per second, making it one of the fastest AI assistants available. Advanced image generation within the LayChat You're also going to get advanced image generation right within the LayChat interface enabled by the Flux image model from Black Forest Labs, which we have talked about a few times, and a new feature that allows users to perform complex data analysis and coding tasks, the code interpreter, as they call it, that supports Python code generation. Additionally, you're also going to get some document analysis features, some task automations, some quote-unquote agentic workflows, multi-step automations, and real-time info updates with citations as well. So just a ton of really impressive features that are getting added into Mistral here as they seek to remain competitive with global AI giants. Speaking of global AI, LayChat is also fluent in 5 different languages, making it one of the most versatile and globally friendly models. Those languages are French, English, German, Spanish, and Italian. Now, let's talk a little bit about pricing. There is a free tier which offers the basic features and access to standard models. But if you want to get access to Mistral's highest performing models, you're going to need to go for their pro tier at $14.99 per month. Slightly cheaper than the competitors' pro tiers out there, usually about $20. They do also have team and enterprise plans. I believe the team plans are $24.99 per month and the enterprise plans are custom. So if you haven't checked out Mistral yet, now is absolutely the time. Okay, and last but not least, let's talk about the news that OpenAI has filed a trademark application for a variety of AI-enhanced hardware. Shout out to the rundown.ai for including this in today's newsletter. And this 100% signals the shift from our very software-focused experience with AI up until this point in time into a physical hardware realm. And when we talk about the list of various types of hardware that are included in the filing, you'll kind of start to understand how deeply AI is going to start affecting all of our physical hardware. You have things like wearable tech, so smartwatches or smart jewelry, AR glasses, headphones, or any other wearables, AR, VR devices in general, all powered by theoretically the most powerful models if OpenAI remains dominant. You can't forget about humanoid robots, of course, when you're talking about AI hardware. Think any other type of tech as well, like phone cases and remotes and TVs. The potential is pretty mind-boggling, and the potential design of these future products is likely going to be fascinating as well, with OpenAI's possible partnership with Joni Ive, the well-known Apple designer. And this comes with vast and various implications for the future of AI hardware. AI integrating into physical systems, massive advancement in spatial computing for those devices like AR and VR, very consumer-centric hardware like smartwatches and jewelry, and very likely hardware that we haven't even considered yet. So the AI hardware future just became a lot more tangible now that OpenAI has hinted at their intentions. Okay, that does it for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show or found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated and is so super helpful to the show. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button and turn on all notifications so you get notified each day when our episode drops. Until then, and as always, thank you for joining me, and remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.